don't love you back. Stay tuned every Wednesday at 11:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 8:30 Pacific, with your host, Boyd and Lucinda, for the hottest talk show in existence. The streets don't love you back. I gotta do right before they
call me home. Good evening and welcome to the Streets Don't Love You Back show. Today is March 7th, 2012. I'm your host, Lucinda, with my co-host, Boyd. And our topic is, as always, the streets don't love you back. Join us every Wednesday night with real people, real stories, and real changes as we hear the truth about gangs, drugs, violence, abuse, and other life issues. We have a great show for you tonight. We have Ms. Sharon Wells. She's a writer, entrepreneur, and motivational speaker. Using her own personal testimony of survival for illustration, she's a passionate advocate who speaks out about prevention and awareness of sexual abuse. With a message focused and centered on encouraging hope, unwavering faith, and perseverance, Sharon guides others to realize, evaluate, and triumphantly overcome the obstacles in their own lives through self-awareness and individual growth. Sharon is also the founder and CEO of Angel Wings Publications. She created this company to self-publish her first book entitled Without Permission, A Spiritual Journey to Healing. And that was released in February of 2011. So we're going to hear Sharon's story tonight. She has a very powerful message. Before we bring her on, let me introduce Boyd to the show.
Yes, how you doing, ladies and gentlemen? And you know, I just want to say we thank all our viewers for tuning in every Wednesday night and for being with us and spreading the message across the country. And without further ado, we will pass the mic over to the young lady, and she will formally introduce herself to the viewers.
Hello and good evening, everybody. This is Sharon Wells, and I want to thank Boyd and Lucinda for having me on the show tonight and allowing me to spread the message about prevention and awareness of sexual abuse.
Amen. And with that being said, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to get the show on the road. And Ms. Wells, you can start from the top and let people know how you got involved with your movement and what triggered you off to start making people aware of what's happening.
Sure. Well, at the age of about 8 years old, I was sexually molested by someone that I knew, someone that I loved, and someone that I trusted. And then again at the age of 9, also someone I knew, and then the age of 12 to 14 years old. I did not realize that or didn't even know what sexual abuse or sexual molestation was at the time, but I knew that it was something that felt dirty and it was something that I shouldn't speak about or tell anyone about, not to mention the fact that I felt guilty and ashamed, and I kept it a secret for a very long time. It made me feel bad about myself. I had low self-esteem. I felt different from everyone because I was walking around with this deep, dark secret. And at the age of 14 is when it was a downward spiral for me. I started experimenting with drugs, feeling depressed, feeling abandoned, and just not wanting to feel the pain. So I did everything that I could to keep that pain down and bury it as far down as I possibly could. From there, just my life was just spiraling out of control. I was in bad relationships. I had gotten married for all the wrong reasons because I was just looking for love in all the wrong places. And I thought that that would be my solution to put all the bad memories behind. And unfortunately, that was not the case for me. And around the age, and I have to say that my drug addiction had really taken off, really had affected my life. And I started going to therapy at the age of 20. or in my early 20s, because I wanted to address the issue of sexual abuse, but I was ready, but I wasn't ready. So I spent a lot of years in and out of therapy and not really getting to the point or to the issue of what was really going on with me. But I continued to go to therapy anyway. And around the age of my early 40s is when I finally had a breakthrough and was able to address the sexual abuse issues and really confront them. And from there, I just decided to write a book because I wanted to help other people who had experienced the same thing that I had experienced, and I didn't want anyone to suffer the way that I had suffered, and I felt like if there was something positive that I could put out there to help other people, then that's what I wanted to do. However, the book was supposed to be more of an inspirational type of book. I was going to touch on the topic of sexual abuse, but I really wasn't going to go in too much depth about it. But I have to say that, you know, we have our plans, and then God has plans for us as well.
Amen.
And the book went in a totally different direction and turned out to be a book about sexual abuse. I have to say I was very fearful about writing it because I was about to expose my life to the world. And I didn't know if I was so ready for that, but I stayed encouraged with people around me, and God continued to just send me positive messages that I was doing the right thing. So I published a book last year, and I realized while I was writing the book and doing research how many people are actually affected by it. I had a lot of women and men share with me for the very first time that they had been sexually abused too. And the numbers and the statistics are unbelievable, very alarming. To date, there are 60 million sexual abuse victims that live in the United States. And one in four girls will be sexually abused before the age of 18. And one in six boys will be sexually abused before the age of 18. And every 2 minutes, someone becomes a sexual abuse victim. And those are very, very alarming statistics. And that was the information that I had gotten along the way after I had written the book. And then, I wanted to do more. The book wasn't enough for me. I wanted to start an organization, which I did maybe about 6 months ago, to provide resources and support for victims and empower them to break their silence and begin healing. I wanted them to know that, there is hope. There is hope for them. There is freedom, but you have to really open up about it and break your silence and get the help that you need to move past it. So I started Angel Wings Bridge Foundation, and what I do now is I provide support groups during the week to women, and I created a workbook that's based on 6 weeks just to get them to start writing about it and talking about it, and then provide resources at the end of the 6 weeks if they want to seek professional help. So basically that is what I've been doing, just being very proactive and getting the message out to as many people as I can, to as many communities as I can, to let people know how serious this epidemic really is.
I believe it's about one in every three women have been molested, and it's usually by somebody that they knew, loved, and trusted. And I think it's about one in six or seven men have been molested at some point.
That's correct.
It's a lot of people that have been affected by abuse.
And let me just say that those numbers right there, that's just numbers of cases that are reported. Most cases never get reported. And I could say, like, personally for me, mine was never reported. And there's a lot of reasons why people don't report, because usually it's a family member or someone close. You know, if it's someone that you're living with, it might be someone who's providing for you. If you turn them over to the authorities, and how are you going to live? There's so many different reasons why people don't tell. And a lot of it is the guilt and shame as well. So I'm saying that to say that
most of it is guilt and shame.
I'm sorry.
I think most of it is guilt and shame.
Yeah, exactly.
Like you're doing something wrong.
Exactly. And a lot of victims do feel that way, and that's exactly why they don't say anything. So they live a life with this deep, dark secret that creates so many wounds.
It really does. I mean, it causes a lot of low self-esteem. It causes a lot of promiscuity. You know, it causes you to not really, I think, care about yourself or maybe even other people.
Exactly. I know for me, the damage that it had done for me, it was all of the things that you just mentioned. I was depressed. I felt suicidal. I was living self-destructive. I had self-destructive behaviors, you know, promiscuous, getting in bad relationships, all of those things. And you know, I call sexual abuse the silent killer because it kills all of those things in a person, their spirit, their self-worth. And it's really, you know, it's a bad thing if it's not addressed.
It's definitely the silent killer. It can really, I mean, tear up your whole world. And
yeah.
then from there, you tear up other people's world, not really realizing maybe, you know, why you're doing it or what's going on. And, you know, I'm a registered nurse, and I transport patients in a critical care ambulance. And a lot of times we take... you know, we transport a lot of teenagers that are, you know, suicidal, that they've tried to, you know, commit an overdose or just for depression. I can't even say how many teens, you know, we transport. It's unbelievable. You know, and I always wonder, why are they so depressed? Why are they, you know, cutting on themselves? Why are they doing this? Why are they doing that? And a lot of it could be that they were abused and never talked to anybody about it.
Exactly. And what I want to say, too, is that I don't believe that people realize this, but sexual abuse is a societal problem. It's not just the victim's problem or the abuser's problem or that family's problem. Because when a person is sexually abused, they, you know, they do whatever it is that they need to do to not feel that pain. And as we said, you know, the behaviors, they can become self-destructive, which leads into different things like prostitution, using drugs. By using drugs, people will do whatever they need to do to get their next fix that leads to crime. So, you know, a person who, you know, and the percentage is very low of people who turn out to be sexual abusers who are victims themselves, but it does happen. And, you know, women are being raped because someone was sexually abused and didn't get treatment. So it affects society as a whole. It's just not one person's problem.
Definitely. Definitely not. And as an adult, I know it took you until then to seek therapy. You know, what did you find going through therapy, and how did that heal you?
Well, you know, as I said, it was a long process for me. It wasn't like I went into therapy and then it worked for me right away. I wanted to be healthy. I wanted to feel good about myself. And I just continued at it and continued going for many years, over 20 years. But it helped me by taking a look at the different things about myself that I hadn't realized was a direct result of the abuse. It let me open up and talk to someone and not keep it a secret. There's a saying that you're only as sick as your secrets. And I was able to, you know, talk about it. Although, you know, I had put a smoke screen up before I actually had my breakthrough. And it was the depression and the drugs and relationships that I actually continued to talk about in therapy until I finally reached the point where I was ready to address the abuse. So therapy is very helpful. You just have to keep at it. It's a slow process. You're not going to be well overnight. You just have to stick with it.
All right. And what is your message to parents of children who may have been abused?
First of all, I say that a parent really, or parents should develop a pretty good relationship and an open relationship with their children first. So that if anything should ever happen to them or has happened to them, that they wouldn't be fearful of coming to their parents and sharing that information with them. If you already have a child that has been sexually abused or you think may have been sexually abused, you should talk to them, and get them to open up to you. Definitely get them treatment and not sweep it under the rug. A lot of people sweep that up under the rug thinking that it's going to go away and that person's going to be okay. They're not going to be okay. And another thing that parents should look out for is if a child's behavior becomes very erratic, if they start behaving totally different from what they normally, with how they normally are, and isolating and feeling depressed and wanting to be by themselves, you have to look for those signs. And a lot of times that is a result of your child being abused. So you have to really be aware and have an open relationship with them and just make sure that they can come and talk to you about anything. And I believe parents should educate their children about good touch, bad touch, especially when it comes to little children. And just be aware and awake.
Definitely. Are you there?
I'm here.
Okay. Lost you for a minute. Yeah, they definitely need to talk to kids. You know, we talk about that a lot, just, you know, in general with the gangs and drugs and things that, you know, young teenagers want to get into. And a lot of it is because they're looking for that need to belong somewhere, that need, you know, to feel important that maybe they're not getting the attention at home from mom and dad, or you know, just not getting what they need at home. I mean, we can't always blame things on the parents either, but definitely, you know, there's warning signs to look for when your kids are having a problem, whether it's with a gang, with drugs, with sexual abuse or anything. You know, they do start acting different, you know, whether it's wanting to be, you know, the way they're dressing, you know, the way they're talking, the things they're saying, or, you know, wanting to be around their, you know, different friends, or like you said, isolation. They just don't want to deal with anybody.
Exactly.
Teenagers, they're just, it's a rough time.
Yes, it is. And that's why it's so important to get the word out about this, because, you know, when I was that age, or a teenager at the age of 14, if I had the type of resources available to me like the ones that I offer today, then it's a great chance that I might not have gone down the road that I went down. I don't recall sexual abuse being discussed or talked about openly. It's always been a taboo issue that nobody wants to deal with, and we still deal with that today, although we do talk about it more than what we have in the past, which is a good thing, but we have to get society talking about it a lot more, because it happens so often, and we see it in the media, with the colleges, with the schools, and some of the Catholic churches, you know, and then we just turn our heads, and that's that. But what happens to the victims?
Right. Exactly. You know, I think I was probably about 8 the first time I was molested, and also by a family member, somebody that I trusted. And by the time I was 13, I was drinking alcohol. I went to parties where some of my friends and cousins were drinking. But, you know, at age 13, I think that had I not been abused, I may not have turned to drinking alcohol. I think it was just a way of coping with, you know, what had been going on. And then, you know, also having the feelings of that I wasn't good enough,
mm-hmm.
And always trying to prove myself that I was important. And, you know, in school activities and, you know, in high school, trying to be in as many clubs as I could, kind of trying to overcompensate, I guess, to show that I was worth something.
Exactly. Because
a lot of that in kids that have been abused too, they overcompensate to prove themselves.
Exactly, and you're absolutely right, because it strips you of your self-worth, and you just don't feel good about yourself.
Definitely.
And I know that was some of the issues that I have dealt with, and you know, trying to overcome that, and it's really I think a lifelong process, because the wounds, they go so deep that it's like a peeling an onion and trying to get to to the core of the matter, and it's just it's a lot of work, and you have to do a lot of work on yourself. And I don't believe that some people realize or want to even be aware that you know those things are actually, or the things that you go through, or the feelings about yourself are direct results from sexual abuse. People try to push those memories down and not think about them, but they do affect your life.
Oh, they definitely do. And, you know, like you, I think, you know, you're about our age, and when we were young, it just wasn't anything that was talked about, you know, and how dare you accuse a family member at that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, and it wasn't until I was probably in my 20s as well when I started getting back into church and working church retreats and going to codependency meetings and things like that, which was my therapy, where we were able to have groupings and you know, women talk and share things they've gone through. And, you know, that was the biggest part of my healing, just being able to talk about it and share with other women that have gone through similar, you know, circumstances.
Yeah. I mean, walking around with that secret, that's a big burden to bear. It really, truly is. And, you know, our minds are so amazing that we have the ability to block out those things that we don't want to remember. But we know that it's there, and we do everything to do what we can to not allow those memories to come back up.
You know, and that's so true that you said that, too, because I have, I'm the oldest of eight siblings that grew up together, and there are, like, sometimes we'll be together and they'll be talking about somebody and they're like, don't you remember so-and-so? And when this happened or that happened, I'm like, I don't even remember it.
Yeah,
you know,
it's amazing how we can do that.
Times of your life and certain parts of your life that you don't, I mean, you just don't even want to think about or talk about anymore. And it's funny because some of the people that I grew up with that I thought maybe looked down on me, you know, I saw years and years later, and they're just, hi, how are you? You know, and give me a hug. And it's like, wait a minute.
Mm-hmm.
But it was my own feelings of shame and guilt, I think.
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly.
Yeah. It really does take a toll on you.
It does. But, you know, the hope is that if you do work on yourself and, you know, I have to say for me, and what worked for me was just trusting in God that I would get better and that I could get better, and just holding on to that and never giving up on that. And that definitely made a difference in my life, because I was in places in my mind and in my spirit that I didn't think that I could ever get out of. And it's just been amazing, the turnaround and where God has brought me today. I don't promote, you know, religion, but what I do promote is spirituality, and that in the days and times that we live in now and the issues that we face, we have to believe in something that's greater than who we are in order to get through them, whether it's sexual abuse or any type of abuse, and just life in itself is so challenging. So, you know, if someone is facing sexual abuse or anything, I highly suggest that you really trust in a power greater and believe that things can and will get better.
Right. Without a doubt, you know. And I would like for you to tell the viewers, when you first started, you know, going through your rechange, and when I say rechange, when you start realizing what none of this your fault, explain to the viewers how, you know, that makes a woman react when she thinks it's her fault, when it's really not your fault when someone is doing you wrong.
Well, that's where the low self-esteem and the low self-worth and having no confidence, that's where all that comes from. I mean, if you feel like you've done something to cause something like that, if something as traumatic as that to happen, then, of course, you're not going to feel good about yourself. And I lived a big portion of my life thinking and feeling that way about myself. And I talk about in my book as well about I was also bullied at a young age. I'm an African-American woman, but I have features that may look Caucasian. And when you're dealing with your peers, you know, children can be very cruel. So I was taunted for, you know, my light color skin and my light eyes and my grade of hair. Mm. And that also made me feel isolated and that something was wrong with me. So, you know, I kind of had a double whammy dealing with the sexual abuse and then feeling like, you know, it wasn't okay to be who I was and then carrying that throughout my life. You know, and it wasn't up until my 40s, actually, that I started just, I just got tired of, sick and tired of being sick and tired. And I started just doing some work on me and having a breakthrough, and this is where it brought me.
That's a blessing, Dan, you know. And would you tell the viewers where they can go get your book at or give them the website?
Oh, sure. Well, it is available on Barnes & Noble and Amazon, and it's also available on my website, which is angelwingspublications.com. And that's Angel Wings with an S, Publications with an S, .com, all one word. And it's available on Kindle and Nook as well, and on Lulu.com if you want to download a PDF file. So the book is definitely out there. It's changing lives, and it's inspiring people, no matter what you have gone through, that you can be victorious and triumphant.
Without a doubt. And we want you to tell the people about your support groups and for abused women and things and girls.
Sure, sure. Well, I have been doing support groups in churches, and I also do a support group on Tuesday nights in New Jersey, Summit, New Jersey, at Summit Oaks Hospital from 7:30 to 9 p.m., and it's a group where women can come and share with other victims what they've gone through and how they overcome, and just share and grow and break the silence and begin healing. And I also do a group on Thursday nights in Summit, New Jersey, at my church, which is Fountain Baptist Church. And it's amazing, and I just have to say how we come full circle and how awesome God is, because it was those two very places, and I share that in my book, where I was at the end of my rope, and I went to my church, and that's when I had gotten saved, and things started turning around for me. And now it's years later, maybe a decade or more later, and I'm actually doing support groups there. And with the hospital, it was the same thing. I had gone there because I felt suicidal and I didn't want to hurt myself. So, you know, something told me to hold on, and I did, and I went there. And I had a spiritual awakening, should I say. And now, you know, it's more than a decade, and I'm doing support groups there. So, yeah, so God is awesome. It's all, you know, definitely. And that's what my support groups are about. And what I'm hoping is that, you know, I can incorporate that nationally, and people will start doing that, because I realize while doing this work that there are not a lot of resources available for sexual abuse victims. There are resources for rape victims, domestic violence, and there are some resources. I won't say that there isn't any, but there are not a lot of active groups out there where women can actually go and talk to other abuse victims, and everyone can heal together.
Right. So I would like to ask you also, why is it very important for women who have survived abuse and different things in their life, why is it so important for them to give back to help other women and children as well?
Because that's what it's all about, and our experience is to share with others so that they may not have to suffer, or they may not have to experience the same thing. You know, I'm a very spiritual person, and I believe that we're here on this earth to help one another, and that's what God's purpose is, even though sometimes we don't get that, and a lot of times we believe it's about self, and that's not what it's really all about. Love is the highest vibration, and that's what we should share with our brothers and our sisters and help people along the way. So it's very important to give back so people don't have to experience the same type of pain and suffering that maybe another person has.
Amen. And it's very important with that situation as well. And I definitely hope our viewers is definitely paying close attention to that, because there's so much abuse that really goes on behind the scenes that don't come out to the light. And there's so many women and children suffer by the hands of not just a loved one, but just the hands of an individual, period, out here that's misusing. So we must definitely come together to be a loud voice towards this abuse and domestic violence and sexual abuse and sexual trafficking in the whole nine yards. I think that is very important, and I'm very proud, and we take our hat off to you for coming forward and giving back and letting people know what God has brought you from. So I think that's very important, what you're doing.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. And I truly know that it's God that's moving me and using me, and I don't personally take any credit for it, because I know, you know, without him, there truly is no me. And
anymore.
What I want to share, which is very important for anybody that's listening, has also been affected by sexual abuse, is that, you know, the healing process, it's a journey, a continuous journey, and no one heals overnight. It's definitely something you have to be patient and gentle and kind with yourself. And I never proclaim to be healed. I am healing, always in the process of healing, because the scars and the wounds of sexual abuse, they go so deep and affect every area of your life that it takes a lifetime to really address all of the things and all of the issues that affects your life to become healthy. You get better. Once you break that silence, I think a big burden has been lifted. But, you know, I still struggle with issues, you know, from the abuse now. But I still continue to work on myself. I still continue to pray. I just don't believe that anyone will ever reach that place where, you know, their life is no longer affected by abuse. They are lifelong scars that you have to continuously work on yourself.
Amen, sister, you know, and that's a great point right there, you know. And with all the turmoil that's going on in the world nowadays, with these young women out here that take this abuse and don't tell nobody, then they grow into their 30s and 40s and still taking it, what would you tell these young women out here, especially these young high school and junior high school and young girls out here that's trying to be fast and different things? What would you tell them? You know, what advice would you throw out there?
The advice that I would give them is to have a voice and to use their voice, because if you don't talk about it and get the help that you need at a young age, it's no doubt about it, you're going to carry that into your adult life, and it's just a life of suffering and pain that you don't want to go through. It's so important to catch it early, because you can save yourself from all of the things that's going to really put your life on the wrong path. A lot of the young girls, they turn to prostituting, to drug, alcoholism. There's a lot of teenage suicide, teenage pregnancy. The crime rates are high with teens, gang affiliations and things like that. And a lot of that is a direct, if not a major part of that, is a direct result of being sexually abused. And you can save yourself from that by finding somebody that you can trust and talking to and sharing and getting the help that you need. And don't sweep it under the rug to think that it's not going to affect your life or think it's your fault. Most importantly, it's not your fault, and I believe that's what the people and the victims and the listeners need to hear, is that it is not your fault.
Amen, you know, and I'm glad that you came out with that right there. And do you have any projects coming up in the future, or any place that you're speaking or having any book signings at? Can you bring that to the forefront?
Well, I actually do have a project that I'm working on. It's a pretty big project that I'm excited about, and it is a documentary film, and it is also called Without Permission. but it's without permission, speak up, speak out to stop sexual abuse. I'm working on this film project with a New York University film student, and we've already begun production. We've already gone into one prison and filmed and interviewed a man who has sexually abused some victims and also has been sexually abused himself. And then we have other interviews that are lined up and hoping to complete this film by the summer and premiere it this fall, this coming fall. And the whole purpose of doing this project is for teens. The focus is on teens to empower them and give them a voice and to let them see firsthand the damage that sexual abuse does to your life and that you don't have to live this life, and to also educate them now, you know, in case someone does violate them, or not to even put themselves maybe in a situation where they could be violated. It's also to educate the parents. This is something that's real, that's happening, and people want to turn their heads away and act like it's not. And I want to share just really quickly about a story that happened today. I have a woman who is a victim who is also working on being an advocate who called me today to tell me that she reached out to this organization, this woman's organization, in a very wealthy community to speak to her about maybe setting up some type of presentation in this facility, in this organization, to speak to the women and girls there. And the woman said to her that sexual abuse is not an issue in that community. Well, I cannot tell you how appalled I was and got to my computer immediately and wrote this woman a letter. I wanted her to realize that, you know, sexual abuse is not based on the community you live in or any economical status or gender or culture. It affects everybody, and that I could assure her that out of 60 million victims in the United States, that some of them lived in her community. So,
and not only lives in that community, if she can tell us a community where that don't go on at, everybody in the United States will want to move in that community.
Exactly. So, you know, and I shared that story to say that, you know, this is the mindset that a lot of people in our society have, and it's because they don't want to deal with it, and that's what it is.
Exactly.
You know, it's not that they don't believe it's not happening.
And they don't want to listen to their kids. You know, the kids might tell them, hey, mom and dad, you know what I mean? They might say, hold on, I ain't got time, but your kid trying to tell you something, and the only thing you're talking about is he'll take the credit card and go buy you something, and I'll get with you later on, but your kid is trying to tell you something that happened.
Exactly.
You know, you got people like that with a little money, so they just want to throw that up under the rug. But one thing that people with money fail to realize, in the end of all that journey, you really destroy your kid because you ain't listened to nothing they ever sat down and tried to tell you. Everything you said was hold on, and you throwing some money their way, and all the time their life is spiraling out of control from drug use, sexual abuse, and everything else. And then when you see the problem is way too late. It's totally out of control.
Exactly.
So, let us know what the neighborhood called Happy Neighborhood at, and we'll all move over there.
Well, I'm really excited to see what her response is going to be, because I also invited her to have a look at the cable show that I taped that will be airing in her community on April 1st during Sexual Abuse Awareness Month. So
we're going to hit it with April Fool's Day on that day, huh?
Yeah.
Already.
So it's just really sad that people, you know, actually think that way, or they're denial. They're in such denial, and that's what it is. That they don't want to deal with it or address it.
They don't even want to talk about it. They don't even want to address it.
Exactly. And that's exactly why. And it's so funny, too, because in that same community, this was months ago, maybe 4 months ago, not exactly sure, it was in the newspaper that there was a man riding around trying to lure kids into his car.
Right.
So, you know,
happening in the neighborhood.
Exactly my point. So, you know, we have to wake up. This nation really has to wake up and start addressing these issues. But how different is that from the Penn State scandal that was not too long ago when, you know, people actually knew that this Sandusky guy was sexually abusing these boys, but they turned their heads.
Right.
And he married. He got a wife at home. And you right here trying to be with a man. But he ain't even a man. He trying to be with a little kid, bruh. You know
exactly.
what I mean? And I guarantee she say that don't go on in her neighborhood. That probably go on more in her neighborhood than she could imagine. That's next
exactly.
up, baby.
And you know, and Penn State is a school where children from wealthy backgrounds go to. So, you know, it happens to everyone. It does not matter where you come from, where you live, or how much money you make.
It don't discriminate.
It does not.
That's like drugs. That don't discriminate. That's in any color, creed. You feel me?
In every neighborhood.
Right.
Exactly.
That ain't in our neighborhood either.
Let me ask you a question, Joan. How do you think this correlates? As far as we know that not only young women are abused, but young men as well. How do you think that carries over to domestic violence, as far with men and women?
Well, it has to do with the self-esteem, the low self-esteem and low self-worth, because if a woman feels good about herself and confident about herself, she's not going to allow herself to get into a relationship with someone that's going to demean her or make her feel even more worthless. So, you know, because of the self-esteem issues and the low self-worth, I believe that that's where the domestic violence comes into play, is that we don't feel good about ourselves. So, you know, it doesn't matter. We're just looking for love in all the wrong places. You know, and some women believe that, you know, when their man beats on them, that means that he loves them, you know.
Right.
So that's how I believe the connection is with domestic.
Maybe any of the abusers, I mean, there's a connection. I'm sure some of them have been abused, but because they don't deal with it and there's so much anger in that.
You know, I wanted to say that I'm sure that's possible, and there are some cases where, you know, that is a direct result. In terms of research, I haven't come across any research, you know, that states that sexual abusers become domestically violent. But, you know, like I said, it's a great possibility, and you know, the way it destroys your life, anything is possible.
Right.
Right. And that's what we have to get the people out here in these communities to understand, you know what I mean? And these mothers and fathers to understand that this could happen anywhere, you know what I mean? A rich neighborhood, a poor neighborhood, any neighborhood. It do not discriminate. And parents, listen to your children when they're trying to tell you something and stop rushing them off to the store and rushing them off to go over their friend's house saying you'll talk to them later on. Learn how to communicate with your child, because you might miss out on what's really happening in their life, no matter how much money you have. Money cannot buy love, and money sure can't buy a child from being hurt or misused.
Exactly. And there's one other thing that I believe is real important that I want to bring up. Is that, and I've heard it, and I'm sure you both have heard it many times before, when a young lady may go to her mom and tell her mom that, you know, a boyfriend, a stepfather, or someone she's in a relationship with is sexually abusing her, and then the mother accuses the child of lying and pretty much chooses the man over the child. That is very, very damaging to the child. And I want to say that I don't believe it's because the mother doesn't believe the child. I believe it has a lot more to do with the mother doesn't want to lose that man, and the mother does not want to deal with the emotional issues that come along with dealing with that type of trauma. So, you know, if there is any woman out there that's listening, you know, believe your child and know that your child's life is valuable and important. And don't choose that man over your child. It's going to mess your child's life up for the rest of their lives.
Amen, sister. You know, and I hope a lot of ladies is out there listening to that one. You know what I mean? Because no disrespect to nobody, but that goes on every day out here in the universe that, you know, you try to hold on to a man that you know ain't worth 2 cents, like my grandparents used to say, and you still out here will choose that over your own children, and he could be your biological kid's father, and you'll still choose that over your children being safe and your children being educated. You'd rather go down the road of destruction before you really understand that this fool is nothing, bottom line. So let's get it in order, ladies out there, and start taking care of the kids and start paying close attention out there. And you fathers out there, start stepping up to the plate, being a father, and sitting down knowing what's happening with your children at all given times, because that's what time it is out here in America now. You know, we must all join together and communicate and educate, because it's very important, you know?
Yes, it is. We all do have to come together, and that is exactly what my campaign about Speak Up, Speak Out is all about. Because it's our voices that have the power. We just have to use it, and it's our voices that will break the silence, that will help many people begin healing.
So you're right, you know? Right. And I just want to take a few minutes, just a couple minutes off the show for a minute, and I want to send out a big shout-out to our homeboy, C. Murder, Mr. Corey Miller, Master P's brother. His birthday is Friday, March 9th. So we here at the Streets Don't Love You Back like to send a big shout out to you, C. Murder. And keep your head up. Keep doing what you're doing. And we appreciate what you're doing from behind the walls with the youth and reaching back out here to the streets to educate. So we just want to send a happy birthday out to you, my brother.
Well, we got another birthday you're forgetting. Happy birthday to our sister, Felicia. Her birthday's today.
The missus, you know what I mean, had to bring that out, you know what I mean? Because I was going to get around to it, but the missus said it first, so that's a good look. You know what I mean? Yeah, that's my sister-in-law, Miss Felicia, and her birthday is this, you know, today, and C-Murder's birthday is Friday. So while we was on the air, we just wanted to send them birthday shout outs to the family, you know?
And then we also want to send all of our love and sympathy to our family in Indiana, Michigan, and Ohio. Our aunt died yesterday of, she's been battling cancer. So, you know, we send out all of our love and deepest sympathies to all of the family.
Yeah, definitely. You know, I want to say a big shout out to my mother and, all my mother's sisters. You know, that was my mother's sister that passed, and just wanted to say a big shout out to the whole Guyton family, and keep your head up, family, and know that Auntie was loved unconditionally. You know, she was a woman of God ever since I knew her, you know what I mean? And I'm almost 49 years old. I ain't never seen her do nothing different, you know? So Auntie, I already know you with the Father, and he already done said he got many matches for you, so I know you right there chilling in one with him. So we sending out love to my little cousin Chrissy, her only daughter. Keep your head up, Chrissy, and know that God is right there with you, you know, and the family is here for you as well.
And I want to give my condolences to you as well.
Thank you much.
Thank you. We have a few more minutes here. Sharon, what do you hope that the women that are listening to your message today can learn, and what do you hope that they can take with them?
Well, what I pray that they get from the show is that there is hope, and they can have freedom from the shame and the guilt that has binded them for so long, that they are worth it, that they're beautiful, and that they have to begin to love themselves. And it's not an easy journey, but they can do it. All is possible. You just have to have some faith and some trust in a power that's greater, and just believe in yourself and believe that you can do it, and be patient and kind and gentle and loving to yourself, because it is that little girl inside that has been wounded that needs all the love, the care, and attention that you can give her, and that you're meant to be happy. So just, you know, walk out there on faith.
Definitely. You know, and today, you know, you're a happy, healthy, esteemed woman. You know, what contributed mostly to your healing and happiness?
Just never giving up, perseverance, believing that, you know, I could do this, continuing to fight for my life, even when I fall down. Just, and, you know, and there's days where I fall down now, but I get back up and I dust myself off and I persevere and I just stand firm and keep moving and trust in God and ask Him for the courage and the strength to keep doing what I need to do to be the woman that He wants me to be.
Right. And can you tell us one more time just a little bit about your book? And the title is just, I mean, it's an awesome title for a book about abuse. You know,
yes, it is, and I take no credit for that. I take no credit for that title. And, you know, as you hear me talk about God a lot, you know, again, I'm just a spiritual person realizing that, you know, it is but for His grace that I'm here talking to you today. But I was in the ladies' room on my job, and the title of the book came to me in the ladies' room. And I start laughing because I knew where it had came from and I knew who had given me that title. And it was a phenomenal title and so fitting to the book.
Exactly.
And, so that's where that came from. But, again, it's called Without Permission, A Spiritual Journey to Healing, where I talk about just how it all happened, where it began, you know, my first experience or trauma of being sexually molested at a young age, how it affected my life, my marriage, my relationships with my kids. I also have stories from other sexual abuse survivors who share with, you know, with the readers what they've gone through and how they've gotten through it. There's also two psychologists, psychotherapists, that give information, educational information about sexual abuse. There's resources in the book. There's poetry in the book. There's spiritual quotes in the book. Very inspiring. I've had a very, very good response to the book, and it's helped many, many people, men and women alike. So I urge you to go out and pick that book up, whether you're a sexual abuse victim or not. The whole message in the book is just about overcoming anything that you may face in your life, and that it's possible, that healing is possible.
Amen.
That's right. It's always possible. You just have to find that support team to back you up, and you can overcome anything.
Exactly. And that could be starting out with one person. Just, you know, find that one person that you can trust and let go of that silence. The silence and the secret is what really takes you out. And I also want to just let the listeners know about my website, which is angelwingsbridge.org. That's the website to my nonprofit organization, where you'll find some resource information about sexual abuse if you need some help. That's angelwingsbridge.org, and it also has my contact information if anyone wants to call and just talk to me. Maybe I may be that person that they need to trust and just share with. So I'm available.
Wow. Amen.
Okay, and what's that website again?
It's angelwingsbridge.org.
Okay. Well, we appreciate you coming on and sharing your story with us. And we look forward to your documentary coming out. That sounds like an awesome documentary. Let us know so we can put the trailer up for you.
I definitely will. And I hope you two will come out to the premiere. Come to the big city, New York.
Yeah, what is
that
going to be?
Awesome.
I'm hoping that we'll be ready to release it in October, the latest.
Oh,
you know, things change. But I'll definitely keep you two posted. I would love for you to come out. I'm going to make it a big deal. And it's just something that's really needed.
Right. Yeah, I got friends in New York, so I ain't been up there in a while. So, yeah, I would
love to.
Well,
that'd be a good time for you to come visit.
Yeah, without a doubt.
Definitely. And, you know, we've talked to you before, too, about getting your information and stuff on our TV show in Cincinnati. So,
yes.
We definitely need to hook up with that, too, and get all your information out there.
Right. If
okay.
If you can put us a little a DVD clip together,
mm-hmm.
and you can mail it to us. And I'll definitely make sure we get on both of Me and My Wife TV shows. We have two shows in Ohio, the Keep It Real show. It's been on 14 years. And we got a show called Change Reality Show. And that's for people who've done change their life around and now educate people. So, yeah, we have got over a million followers with each show, you know?
Wow. That's great. I'll definitely do that.
Yeah,
and I will be in contact.
It's all about networking. That's all it's about.
Yes, it is. And it's about getting the message out. And that's
yeah.
what this is all about, just letting people know that, you know, there is help available to them. And just to give them some hope.
Yeah.
A lot of people have lost hope. And
yes,
I just encourage that. And they need to be inspired and empowered. And that's what my job is to do, is just to, you know, inspire people that things can get better.
Amen.
Exactly.
Because we just we a vessel, and we showing people what God can do, because we done came from that. Now we in the light, out the darkness into the light. So we just example what He can do, you know, and that's
exactly.
all it's about. When He saved your life and He blessed you to overcome all your obstacles, it's your job and duty to go out and bring someone else close to Him. So that's the bottom line.
Exactly. And I commend you, too, on the great work that you're doing. You know, we need
Absolutely.
As many advocates as possible out here to save our children, because they are our future. And without them, there is no future.
Right.
You're right. And I just want to, you know, give you big ups again for what you're doing and being brave enough to come out and tell your message and your story and your testimony to help save lives. And you know, me and my wife, 3 years ago, we started the Streets Don't Love You Back movement, and me and her never dreamed of it going in the direction it went in, because basically we was just doing my book, you know. She was just redoing my book that the people had messed up, you know.
Yeah.
And that's how everything got going, you know, with the Streets Don't Love You Back. You know, and the rest is history. You know, 3 years later, we are doing great things, and we have met a great deal of frauds, and we have met a great deal of good people. You know, and that's
yeah, well, you're
going to
meet all kinds. You're going to
meet
all kinds, but keep doing what you're doing.
That's part of the journey.
Yes,
you
it
know?
Is.
But the important thing is that we're reaching people, and we're educating people, and we're getting the message out there. You know, on gangs, drugs, violence, and abuse, you know, and it all
yeah.
kind of intertwines.
Well, keep up the great work that you're doing. I
you
love
too.
It, and
you
I know
too.
That it's changing lives.
Yeah, and you too. And make sure you get that DVD clip to us so we can get on the TV shows.
I surely will, and I just want to thank you both for having me on the show and to allow me to send out a positive message to your listeners.
And thank you so much.
We thank you.
And my wife will send you a P.O. box where to send the DVD to as well. So we're looking forward to getting that from
you. Keep in touch with us, and we'll just keep networking with you.
For sure. Thank you again.
Thank
you have a blessed
so
night
much.
Now.
Have
you too.
Night.
Okay. Thanks again.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye. We're going to go out tonight with the song by a young man out of Detroit, Michigan, who is doing great things and staying out of trouble. And he's being represented by Grand Slam Records out of Detroit, Michigan, and his name is Kendall Day. We're going to listen to this song, Lost Without You, and we're looking for his first single to come out here real soon, anytime. Have a great week, and we'll be back with you next Wednesday night with new pro boxer out of Phoenix, Arizona, Jesse the Razor Reese. We're going to hear his story, how he came from a gang-banging life and now a pro boxer trying to stay out of trouble and do the right thing, make things happen. Uh-huh.
Yeah. I like that. It's Kendall Bear.
Lost without you. Can't help myself. How does it feel to know that I love you, baby? Lost without you. Can't help myself. How does it feel to know that
I love you, baby?
Baby, tell me how you love me more. How you think I'm sexy, baby? You don't want this guy, you don't want that guy. You wanna touch yourself when you see me. Tell me how you love my body, how I make you feel, baby. You wanna roll with me, you wanna hold with me. You wanna stay warm and get out the cold with me. I just love to hear you say it. It makes a man feel good, baby. I need to hear it because
sunny days, everybody loves them. Tell me, baby, can you stand the rain?
Can you stand the rain?
Storms will come.
Yeah, yeah.
This we know for sure.
This we know
tell
for
me,
sure.
Baby, can you stand the rain?
I can, so I'ma hit this drink up like it's my last. I'ma hit this night up like it's my last. I'ma do you like it's my last. I swear I'ma do it like I never had it last. Like I never had it last.
Tell me you won't break my heart.